All of us in this room today have a couple of things in common. On the positive side, we all love the Lord. On the negative side, we're all scared about money. The stock market is off. Some say we're in a bear market. We are close to, if not in, a recession, and inflation is running high once again, eroding the purchasing power of what money we have. In the wake of COVID, we've seen lost jobs. We've seen new and unforeseen expenses. Uncertainty in life, particularly in our financial lives, is causing us all to grow alligator arms. You know, the kind that are too short to reach for that check when we're out dining with friends. Gretchen and I met recently with our own financial advisors. Let's just say that the first 10 minutes was a bit like a visit to the proctologist. It was not fun at all. In addition to that fear of what's going on in the world, there's also some confusion mixed in. In my life, almost all teachings on finance have been geared towards someone actively working, not someone that's retired. Looking around the room, I'd say that the majority of us are now living off of fixed incomes or living off of the investments we managed to accumulate when we were working. How should I view giving off of investments that rise and fall, as opposed to giving off of the paycheck that I bring home on a weekly basis? How should we view our finances and the subject of giving? Frankly, this time I have with you right now is too short to scratch the surface of this subject, but I do think we can begin facing in the right direction and may be able to discuss some bookends for our prayer and discernment. I love 1 Chronicles 29:14, where David said, "But who am I and who are my people that we should have the means to contribute so freely? For everything is from you, and what we give is what we have from you." We are owners. We are not owners. We are stewards. I find myself all wrapped around the axle about my money, my investments, my assets. The fact of the matter is that none of this came from me. It is all a gift to me. It's not truly mine. I am a steward of the Lord. But I've also got to consider that a steward is not simply a conduit that the master's goods flows through. A steward is not passive. A steward is a person of authority in the household. A steward is responsible for management of the household and for looking after the master's interests. That leads me to the second point. If I'm going to look after the master's interests, I've got to know the master's mind. Now, we all know how to do this. The first thing we do is to read our scripture and to study it as well. If we have questions about giving and money, we should be looking at what the Lord has already said about it. Money, its use, our giving, our attitude towards it, whose it is, and everything about it is one of the prominent themes of Scripture. When I did this, I certainly found the subject of tithing. And the subject of tithing is what most finance teachings focus on. You've all heard all about it. You know all about it, about how we should give 10% of our income and how, as community members, we should be giving somewhere around half of our tithe to our parish and about half of our tithe to community. Every time I think about tithing, I laugh. I think about Jack Wagner, my father-in-law, who gave a teaching on tithing once, and I thought that I would be smart. And I asked him, I said, "Jack, should we be tithing off of our gross income or our net income?" And without missing a beat, he said, "Well, that depends on if you want a gross blessing or a net blessing." I've been tithing gross ever since. But when we read Scripture, we see that tithing isn't the final word on giving or about how we should view money. After all, remember what Jesus said to the rich young man from the gospel just a few weeks ago in Matthew 19:21. "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And so our responsibility lies somewhere between the 10% tithe and everything that we've got. How do we discern? Well, that comes to the second aspect of knowing the master's mind. We have to read what he has already said, and we've got to talk to him. That means prayer, and it means being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I've always been blown away by the stories Bobby Kavanaugh used to share about someone showing up on his doorstep with a huge check saying, "The Lord told me to come and give this to you." I've wanted to be that person the Lord instructed. I've wanted to be able to hear him so clearly as to step out and do this. How do I grow into this person? We're all familiar with the scripture of the talents from Matthew 29, where different servants were given money to manage from their master. Some invested, one buried it in the ground. The ones who managed well were given more. The one who didn't manage it at all had it taken away. One lesson the scripture teaches is that responsibility in small things leads to opportunities and responsibilities in big things. And so perhaps one way to develop the sense of what the Holy Spirit is directing us to is through the use of small things, and pray that this leads to big things. I've got two small suggestions. First, a small way we can pray about and act upon what the Lord is calling us to give is to pray about how he wants our support in community above and beyond our tithe. In Acts 4:32, it says, "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. There was not anyone needy among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to each as any had need." While we may not have been called to sell everything just yet, we should be trying to ensure that there is no one needy among us. You see, the general contributions to community go into the primary budget. However, ministries like the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Mount St. Michael Catholic School are outside of this normal budget. There are members of our community that couldn't pay their mortgage, or who were eaten alive by medical bills they couldn't pay, who were able to be supported by contributions above and beyond normal tithing, who stayed in their homes, or who didn't default on other obligations when they found themselves unemployed because St. Vincent de Paul came to their aid. There are children meeting Christ daily at Mount St. Michael Catholic School because contributions to the school paid for grants directed to those who could not afford the full tuition for their children. Secondly, a small way to listen to the Lord and to get used to responding faces each of us almost every day. When I drive anywhere, the street corners are filled with people holding signs asking for help. From time to time, I get all flustered and I begin to judge who should be working, or whether someone looks mentally ill, or whether they look like a scammer and would simply waste my resources. But how do I know? Does someone out there genuinely need my help, or are they play acting? The fact is that I don't know and can't know without sacrificing significant time and effort. Even if I do this, there'll be an endless conga line of others, and I simply don't have the time or money for all of them. Besides, I also contribute to several entities that serve the poor. But I'm reminded of Peter and the lame man in Acts 3, where Peter doesn't have any money but prays for the man. Is this what I'm called to do? Perhaps. but I think this is one small habit we can adopt. Pray. Whenever we see anyone begging at a street corner, perhaps we should lift them in prayer and offer them to the Lord. Perhaps He will inspire us. Gretchen and I pass a person on almost every corner that we drive through. Usually, we just pass on, but occasionally, we do something different. Yesterday, there was a woman on a corner that Gretchen stopped for and gave money to. She didn't look any more indigent, any more poor, or any more needy than most people that we pass. She wasn't remarkable in any way, nor did she appear physically ill. Yet, Gretchen was inspired to give. Sometimes, rather than pass, she is inspired to roll down the window, introduce herself, and ask how she might pray for them. Now, this is not an every beggar kind of a thing. It is a response to the promptings of her conscience, which is formed through prayer by the Holy Spirit. And just perhaps by responding to these subtle nudgings by the Holy Spirit, she is learning how to listen more closely and will be entrusted with larger missions. I can't tell you how much you should be giving. I've got enough issues discerning what I should do. However, my commitment to community demands that I support the community and its ministries, including the St. Vincent de Paul Society and the Mount St. Michael Catholic School, and my parish, at a minimum. And my relationship with the Lord demands that I seek to provide wherever I can, and to specifically pray and listen to Him about where my money goes. And just perhaps, if I give it all over to Him and take to heart the reality that it all comes from Him and that I'm merely a steward rather than an owner, my anxiety about our modern times and my bank accounts will also be given over to the Lord and will not preoccupy my attention. Thank you.